All right, 2 Timothy chapter number 4 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to be back in His house this evening. Amen. And any time we get an opportunity to come to the house of God, we ought to rejoice. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Amen. I believe we're living in those closing times of the Gentile church age. And we need to rejoice together when we meet in God's house, a place of safety and peace. And think about those in Israel today and tonight and all the terror that's there. And the things that are coming on our world, thank God for His mercy, allowing us to be gathered in the house of God. Amen. All right, let's stand tonight as we reverence the Scripture. Verse number 1 says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Lord, thank You for the blessed Word of God. We're grateful, Lord, You inspired it and preserved it. Lord, we thank You that You still speak through Your Word. We ask You, dear God, that You'd bind the devil, Lord, every reasoning spirit, every force of hell. And may the Holy Ghost of God move in a preeminent way in this service. May the Lord Jesus be exalted and be magnified. Lord, may You touch the heart and the life of every child of God. Lord, wilt Thou not revive us again? How we need to be quickened, revived, and renewed. Lord, I pray You refresh Your people. And as we preach the Word of God, may their heart be fed. Lord, deal with that precious sinner in our midst. May You open their eyes. Lord, may they be brought to the saving knowledge of the Son of God. Lord, guide our lips and our meditations tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. 2 Timothy is a book that has to do with the changing of the guard. In these verses that I just read, the apostle's emphasizing to young Timothy that his race has been run, his fight has been fought. And he said, I'm ready to go now to that crown and reward that the Lord has prepared for me. But son, you're left behind. And if you'll fight a good fight, you'll run a good race. Henceforth, there's laid up for you a crown of righteousness. If you'll just love His appearing and live in the light of the appearing of the Son of God, then you too can have what awaits me over on the other side. And as we've looked at this changing of the guard, we saw in chapter number 1, the Christian's inheritance. Timothy was reminded that he was entering into a special blessed, treasured heritage that's been passed on from the forefathers through the Apostle Paul, through Grandma, through Mama, and other believers that had fought and lived by faith. And now, son, it's your turn. Make your mark. Serve God. Live for God. Serve God in your generation. Don't let down the guard. Don't let down the guard. And just keep on going on for the Lord and stand steadfast in the things of God. Then in chapter number 2, we saw some classic illustrations of what it means to change and become part of that guard that is changing and to become that faithful watchman on the wall. These 9 classic illustrations tell us again and again that things are passed from one generation to another. I think about the sonship factor in verse number 1 and If anybody ought to be faithful with the Father's business, it ought to be the children. Amen. And if anybody ought to be faithful of the things of God, it ought to be God's little children. I think about those that come as soldiers and how the one group of soldiers can't carry the load for a nation forever. There has to be other young recruits that come on. And every one of these illustrations are moving illustrations. That is, they require people to step up to the bat. They require people to stand up and make up that hedge, stand in the gap. And friend, as God's children, the burden falls again on our shoulders. Chapter number 3, we saw some cautioning insights. Iniquities are coming. Ungodliness is going to be on us in the last days. And the Bible tells us evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Timothy, it's not going to be easy. It will be a fight. There are enemies of the gospel and enemies of the faith. But don't let them detour you, slow you down, or stop you. You take that same scripture you've known from a child, believe that scripture, glean from that scripture, and God will give you everything you need to war this good warfare all along the journey. Now we come to chapter number 4, and most of the time when we read this chapter, it's at an ordination service somewhere. But there are a lot of good truths that need to be preached to God's people in this chapter. And I want to look at the charge imparted to Timothy. I charge thee therefore. Now that word charge comes from a word that is kin to the word martyr. Timothy, it'll be costly for you to serve God. But I charge you, that is, I implore you, I beseech you that even if it requires being a martyr, and sealing your testimony in the witness of your own blood, son, stay steadfast to the divine truths of Almighty God. Now, I remember Pastor Ray Aiken telling about going to Greece and preaching there at the Bema, or the judgment seat. And he said he preached to a congregation there with his back to the judgment seat. And he was telling me the story. And I thought every time we preach, we need to realize there is a charge and that one day we'll turn around and give an account to that judgment seat of God. The apostle says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, the quick, those that are born again. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and in sin. And he said, I also charge you before the one who shall judge the dead. At the white throne judgment, there'll be a judgment of sinners. And every believer needs to hear. Not only do we preachers need to preach in the light of the judgment seat, but we believers need to hear in the light of the judgment seat, because it won't be very long that we'll turn around and we'll stand before God and we'll give an account of that very word that has been proclaimed to us. God puts His man through a lot to get the message to flow through his heart to minister unto you. And when you sit there and write notes or pop bubble gum or think about something else, you're guilty, my friend, of not heeding the very message that God has sent to your heart for that time in your life. Amen? Now, notice first of all in this great charge, the examination of the sovereign. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We see a consciousness of accountability. I charge thee before. My accountability tonight is not before you. Amen. My accountability is before Him. You'll be criticized and run down if you go for God, whether you be a teenager in a high school or an elderly man of God or a young man of God. If you go with the Lord, there will be critics. But one thing that gave me peace years ago was the fact that to my own master, I stand or I fall. I really could care less what you think about me tonight. I want you to think good of me. I don't want to be a smart aleck, be a self-made martyr. We got plenty of that today. They think they're going to get a spiritual crown for just being a smart aleck, but that's not going to happen. Amen. You're going to get a swift kick from the Lord for all that mess. Amen. But you see, we have an accountability to Him. And our eyes ought to be on the Lord. And if He's pleased, thank God, let all the world hate me. Let all the world despise me. You remember that woman that said to Joseph, come lie with me. He said, I can't do that. He said, my master's put me in charge of all things. He's kept nothing back from me but thee. And he said also, how shall I do this wickedness before God? And the thing that'll keep us right when we leave the doors of the house of God is a consciousness of accountability before the Lord, that it's all going to come up again. When all the brethren are gone, when everybody else is set down and they've gone aside, we're going to have to give an account before Almighty God. We see a coming appointment. Who shall judge the quick and the dead? Sinner friend, you've got an appointment. You'll stand before God. Saint of God, we'll all meet that appointment at the judgment seat of Christ. And if we'll live in the light of that judgment, it'll keep us clean and keep us wholesome. Amen. And so we see, my friend, an examination of the sovereign. And then this charge involves expounding the Scripture. Notice what he said. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. I know this is to preachers mainly, but friend, it applies to the people of God. If you have a Sunday school class, I want to say, teach the Word. A lot of Sunday school, just a waste of time. When I was a boy, I was sitting in a Sunday school class this fella had, and on any given Sunday morning, you could enter in, and he'd start on the front row and go all the way through, and he'd say, now you take a verse and explain it. And we'd read the verse, we'd say, well, that basically means what it says, and says what it means, and gouge the next one. And we'd go through the whole class and just waste time. Thank God for godly Sunday school teachers. Thank God for preachers that emphasize the Word of God. You've got a pastor that loves his Bible. He preaches his Bible. And I'm going to tell you all to rejoice. I preach all over this world, friend. And those that love this Scripture and expound this book on a consistent basis are few and far between. They're preaching burnt hamburger sermons, something they've got from some other brother, or something out of the sword of the Lord, or some little hobby horse they like to ride and jump on and flog everybody. But to expound line upon line, Scripture after Scripture, text after text, they're few and far between. You better value that as a people of God. There's the emphasis of this Bible in 2 Timothy. He says, hold fast the Word. Don't let it go. Don't get away from it. Stay with this book. He says in chapter 2 and verse 9, the Word of God is not bound. Paul said, I'm bound, but God's Word's not bound. And the Lord used the pen of the Apostle Paul and the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to shake the Roman kingdom to its very foundation. Because you might lock up the preacher, but you can't lock up the Word. Amen. It is not bound. In verse number 15 of chapter 2, he said, it'll make you a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing that word of truth. It is our tool chest. It is our treasure chest. It is the checkbook of faith, the promises of God that enable us to serve God and do whatever God has called us to do. In chapter 3 and verse 15, he said, it's this Bible that makes us wise unto salvation. He said, Timothy, you've known the Scripture from a child that's made thee wise unto salvation. How did I know I was a lost sinner? This blessed old book. How did I know Jesus loved me? This blessed old book. How did I know He'd forgive me? Thank God somebody hammered out the text that there's forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's brought a peace and a confidence and a divine assurance to my soul. And as we hold forth this blessed old book, God works in the hearts of sinners and brings them unto faith to Himself and redeems us by His marvelous grace. There's an emphasis. Then there's an exposition. He said, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the written Word of God. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. We have a lot of preaching about preaching the Word. But when it comes to preaching the Word, there's not a lot of preaching the Word. Amen? They'll preach about the Word and preach on how we ought to believe the Word. But as far as just getting in there and preaching that book, amen, there's not a whole lot of that in this hour. I believe we ought to preach this Bible. And in order to preach it, we've got to study it. Amen? I heard about a preacher in a barber shop one time. He's sitting there getting a haircut, and he's bragging on how good his fox dogs were. Man, nobody, no fox can hide from my dogs. No fox can get away from me. And an old Quaker was sitting in the barber shop, and he had all he could stomach. And
So he spoke up. He said, "Methinks I know where a fox could never be found by your dogs." That preacher said, "Where?" He said, "In your study." Amen. In your study. I say amen right there. Listen, I go to a lot of preacher fellowships, and I get discouraged by what I'm hearing at preacher fellowships. And I slip in on a few preachers and listen to them preach, and it's disheartening, my friend, that when you starve the sheep of God down, they get wormy, they get anemic.
Right, right.
They're apt to jump the fence. They don't have much strength to bat when the wolf gets after them. And I hear this complaint all the time. Well, what we need is a bigger building. What we need is a better location. Brother Lawson and I ate together today at a little old restaurant over there. As far as the facilities go, they're not a whole lot. But man, there's Mercedes-Benz and Cadillacs sitting out there. And folk enjoying. You know why? Because there's good food on the table. I don't know if the times the preachers took me way out in the country in the middle of a cow pasture somewhere to some old shanty building to eat supper. And I'm thinking, why in the world did he take me here? And then you have to stand in line for a half an hour. And when you sit down and finally get your meal, you find out why people drove that distance. Because if you put it on the table, they'll come to eat it. Amen. I believe that's why God's blessing around here. Something's on the table. People know it's consistently going to be there. They'll show up when it's feeding time. Old preacher down in Mississippi said he thought he would go out and visit one of the widow ladies in his church. She had 8 children. Her husband had died, elderly lady. And said he got out there and said she was out behind the house in the cotton field. Said he walked down the middle of a cotton row. And spoke to her and told her, said, "I was in the community, said I wanted to come by and see if there's anything I can do for you." Said she looked up at him and said, "You see these bleeding fingers? Said, you see my knees, how they're bleeding? I drag this cotton sack through this field all day long. And on Friday I get paid for it. And I take 10% of that out and I put it in the offering plate at the house of God. And I use the rest of it to feed my 8 children. You want to do something for me? You take that money that we put in that offering plate and pay your salary, and you use that time to bury your face in the Word of God, and when my 8 kids come to the house of God, you have them something to eat on. If you want to do something for me, that's what you can do." I say amen right there. Preach the Word. Not only the written Word, but preach the living Word. I go some places, I might as well get on preacher fellowships tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You preach on Isaiah 53. Yeah. You preach on Calvary. You preach on the blood of the Son of God. Yeah. The power of His resurrection. Yeah. They just fold them arms. When are you going to get to something more important, preacher?
Come on. Come on.
Then you jump up and hobby horse on everything under the sun, you know. They'll holler, "Yeah, hallelujah, he's a preaching now." Amen.
Amen.
Now, something's wrong with that.
Amen.
I say amen.
Amen.
So he said, expound the Scripture. But then look in verse number 2. He said, experience the season.
Yeah.
Be instant in season, out of season.
Yeah.
The preparation. He said, be instant. When I was building my house, plywood shot up to $85 a sheet. Hurricane Hugo had come through, and everybody and his brother had boarded their houses, motels, buildings up. And then what didn't get blowed away, they were using plywood to build everything back. And they were preparing for the storms, what I'm saying. He said, "Timothy, you be instant." In other words, be prepared. That's what that word means. Look out, son. There's a coming storm. Impending danger on the horizon. Don't let it knock you off your feet. Don't let it buffalo you. Don't let it baffle you. Because, son, it may be in season right now, but it'll soon go out of season. And as God's children, we need to understand that there are seasons in serving God. God saves you that springtime. Everything's new. The trees are budding. The birds are singing. The warm winds are blowing. Thank God it's springtime. Brand new life everywhere you turn. You enter into the will of God, start serving Him, it's summertime. Boy, fresh fruits on the right hand and on the left. God begins to bless your life and you don't have to go far to glean and eat of the fruits of God. Then fall comes, the leaves change. The sap goes down. The Lord takes away some of those sort of spasms and emotions that you've been feeling to get you to learn to live by faith. Then in the wintertime, we'd do like Job, say, I reached forth, but I couldn't touch him. I looked back, where'd God go? I moved to both sides. Did God pack up and leave out of here? What in the world is wrong? Tell you what's wrong. It's wintertime. Amen. Now, since I was a boy, I've heard people say, old-timers especially say, boy, it's a sign of the last days now, because the Bible says in the last days you won't be able to tell the seasons apart. I asked a fellow where that's at in the Bible. He said, well, I do not think it's Ecclesiastes or Revelation 1. I said, when you find it, would you show it to me? He never did show it to me, because he didn't find it. But I'll tell you what I did find in the Bible, reading this scripture through again and again. As long as the earth endures, there'll be seed time and there'll be harvest. There'll be the changing of the seasons. So that tells me when I'm in the middle of a winter time, not to despair. Thank God, as sure as winter's there, spring's coming again. And it tells me if I'm in a summertime, I better put some things back. I better can some tomatoes and beans, because wintertime's headed this way. And I'm going to have to thaw some things out. Amen. I encourage you, you get some of these good preaching tapes. Boy, God bless his inner service. You get them and you put them back, because you're going to go through some seasons and times when you won't hardly be able to feel God. But you can unthaw one of them. Hallelujah. And it's amazing how you capture the presence of God on a good cassette tape. And though you're not in the camp meeting, it's just like you were there. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, be prepared, son. Be ready. Persevere. Be instant in season and out of season. Sometimes preaching's in season. It's in season around here this week. I like it. Praise God. Shotguns going off everywhere. Every time dove flies through, boy, there everybody's in the dove field. Preach it, preacher. Bam, 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 you know. Let an old fowl come through here and everybody's shooting at him. But there are times when it's out of season, buddy. You have to put an amen or two in the pulpit. Amen. That's so you can get it back later on. That's right. I've been in meetings where I've had to play the piano, do the singing and the special singing, take up the offering, give the offering. Amen. Do all the praying. Do the preaching. And then most of the repenting. Amen. I've been in meetings like that. Uphill, out of season. Boy, folk looking at you like, don't you say another word, preacher. All sawed up and frogged up. Amen. Thank God. What you going to do? Just go ahead and hunt anyhow. There's too many spiritual game wardens sitting around. It's out of season. No hunting, no hunting. God said, go ahead and trespass a little bit. It'll be all right. I'll pay you fine. Amen. But we're going to experience the season as God's people. But then he said, exhort the saints. Notice what he said. He said, I want you to reprove. That is to show what's right. It means to convince. Preaching has a convincing quality about it. The night I got saved, I didn't come to get saved. I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't hunting God. And I really wasn't interested in God that night. I was interested in a girl that was there. Knew her address, her phone number, who her daddy and mama was. She didn't know I existed on the planet. But I was trying to get up courage to let her know. Amen. But in the process of the preaching of the Word of God, there was a convincing that went on. God the Holy Ghost opened up my blinded eyes and began to enlighten my heart in understanding of the fact that I was a sinner on my road to hell. Showed me the precious Son of God who bled and died for me. He said, reprove, convince them, show them what's right. Then he said, rebuke, show them what's wrong. You cannot preach this Bible without rebuke. I don't have to pick out stuff and throw it at people. If I preach you Scripture, it'll handle everything in the right fashion and in the right time. I love to preach series of messages, and it's often amazed me how God will have the right people at the right time in the right service. Had they come the night before, it wouldn't even apply whatsoever. But they came that night, and God had already given me the whole set of messages before I ever got there. And it's just like you'd wrote a script and read the script of their life and unfolded all their mail and showed ever. And it's been a blessing to watch God take this book and reprove and rebuke the heart of those that are in sin. And then he talked about the remedy, that is exhort with long-suffering and doctrine. Exhort to build up and lift up. Thank God it's not all hide-busting. There is some exhortation. Isaiah said in chapter number 40, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. The devil will make us preachers feel guilty if we try to comfort God's people a little bit. But I'm going to tell you what, God's young'uns getting beat on enough out there in that world. The devil cusses them, the world cusses and kicks them. And when I come to the house of God, man, I need to be built up and exhorted sometimes. Amen. And so he says, exhort the saints of God. But then in verse 3, he said, expose the satanic, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. We could literally say the time has come. Not the time will come, the time has come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine that's biblical. Sound doctrine that is scriptural. They don't want line upon line. They don't want deep theology. They say, don't give me theology. Just tell me about God.
Come on, preacher.
They belong to that group of the ignorant brethren over in Thessalonica. Amen. One old feller said, I just keep getting ignoranter and ignoranter all the time, and I'm proud of it. Well, it's one thing to be ignorant. It's another thing to stay that way. Say amen right there. Paul said, you be full of the doctrines of God. You say, that brings division. It may bring division, but that's what will keep you steadfast and stable. Amen. And don't be afraid to use biblical terminology. Thank God this Bible's full of good terms. And I'm going to use biblical terminology teaching the doctrines of the Word of God, because He said the time's going to come when they'll not endure it. They don't want it, man. They say, oh, man, that just went right over my head. That's too deep, man. You preached on that doctrine, that truth. I just can't get a hold of it. We better be settled in the doctrines of the Word of God, or the devil's going to blow us away. Say amen right there. He talked about sound doctrine. He talked about Hymenaeus and how he had that gangrene meat, that cankered word. It wasn't pure word. It was cankered word, gangrene word. Word that was infected by all. And you listen to preaching on any given Sunday morning on the radio or on the TV, you're going to hear some gangrene preaching. Say, well, I can pick out the bones, you know, and keep the meat. That'd be all right. But what you going to do when the meat's poison? You going to pick out the green part and eat the other parts? It's hard to discern between the two. Amen. He said, sound doctrine. There are churches built all around Knoxville on feel-goodism. Amen. I preach meetings in Baptist churches to have some swindler come through. One church in particular down in Florida, I preached in Baptist church now. They kicked the pews out, and they started dancing, got tied up in that laughing revival, and all that out of Pensacola, you know. Things folded up, and they nailed the door shut. It just didn't last, and it won't last. Amen. Preacher, you preach too much Bible. How in the world can you preach too much Bible? Said they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. We've got to be careful in our preaching that we're not just preaching something somebody else has said. I know a young believer right now, he had a real struggle. This fella came through and preached, said it's a sin for a man to have a beard. And he had a little beard, you know. He got old enough to grow him a little beard. And the fella got up, oh boy, it's a sin. It's ungodly and unholy and reprobate. He done took your armpit hairs and put it on your chin. I mean, he just got real vile with it, you know.
Come on, brother. Amen.
You didn't get that out of the Bible. Because that anointing oil flowed off of Aaron's head and got tangled up in his beard. is God's high priest. They plucked out the beard of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I preach against beards, is that a fable or is that something scriptural? Say amen right there. A lot of this stuff makes good preaching, but it sure ain't good Bible. Sound doctrine, not fables. Boy, they turned the fables in this hour, buddy. Amen. They not only exposed the satanic, but look in verse number 5. He said, endure the storms. He said, watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Watch thou in all things. Be careful. You're going to have all kind of storms ahead of you. You're going to have snares laid for your feet. On the right hand and on the left, Paul said part of the perils was temptations that would befall me, and the devil will take you down if he can as a child of God or as a preacher. He's after all of us. Amen. But he said endure afflictions. Now how am I going to endure afflictions? Well, let me give you this little thought. I was down in East Point, Florida, preaching for Brother Bobby Shiver at the United Baptist Church. If you ever go through there, you just stop at Junior's gas station or any of them little oyster houses there. You just say, where's the man of God at in this community? And I'll guarantee you them fellas, say, just go right over here about two blocks. Shivers his name. Bobby Shivers his name. Just an old country hoodie. I told him I found a Florida hillbilly. Amen. Run around barefooted up and down them seashores, crab and fish and all that. But he's built boats for a living all his life. Well, I was preaching for him, so I thought I'd share with him my sermon out of the book of Acts on how they cast out four anchors and wished for the day. When that storm came, man, they had the anchors out. I had the anchor salvation. I had the anchor the sovereignty of God. I had to anchor the precious blood of Jesus, to anchor the Scriptures, and he let me rattle on through all that. And then he said, Brother Andrew, let me just ask you a question. He said, where'd they throw those anchors out from? I said, out of the boat. He said, the Bible tells you where. And I read the Scripture and it said, the stern. He said, yeah, they threw it out the stern. He said, do you know which end of the boat that is? I said, man, I'm a mountain boy, not a sailor. He said, that's the back of the boat. He said, now that's the worst thing in the world they could have done. He said, I built boats all my life. He said, you build the front of the boats with a sharp point. And when you anchor one off in a storm, you throw the anchor and the rope out the front of the boat. And that'll pull the boat around to face the storm with that point going toward the waves. It said, if you got enough anchor rope and a good enough anchor, it can ride out any storm that comes. But said, those men threw the anchors out the back of the boat, which jerked the boat around backwards. And the boat was straight up and down in the back. And the wave just dashed the back of it and poured in and filled the ship up. He said those were good sailors. They knew better than to do what they did. But they got afraid and they did something stupid in the storm. He told me about a friend of his that had worked the water all his life. A little funnel cloud come up and he did something stupid because he got afraid and it cost him his life. He said, the message of that Scripture is, don't do something stupid when you get afraid.
Amen.
I tore up one sermon, but I got another good one. Amen.
Yes, sir.
He said, endure afflictions. How are you going to do it? Running from the storm? No. You turn around and face it, praise God. You anchor off in the promises of this blessed old book. Tie a long rope of faith on it and let it ride out. Amen. It'll bounce up and down. You'll feel like you're going to drown. But thank God, the old ship of Zion never has went down. And even when it was full of water, it didn't sink because Jesus was on board. Hallelujah. I heard about an old fellow one time. Him and his son was a sailor and they had a ship and said a big storm came. And said the boy was up on top and they've got a place called the pulpit on that ship. And said he had tied himself in that pulpit and said that ship was dancing up and down. And his daddy and everybody went down below and they'd batten the hatches down. But every once in a while his daddy would open up the hatch and holler, ride that pulpit, son! Ride that pulpit! Don't let go, son! Hallelujah. Boy, that's the best thing to do in the time of storm. Just ride that pulpit, praise God. Keep hammering that blessed old Bible out and let God handle it. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Endure the storms. Then in verse number 5, he says, do the work of an evangelist. Evangelize the sinner. Evangelize the sinner. He didn't say, now, Timothy, you're the pastor, but now you go be an evangelist. No, he said, you do the work of an evangelist. He said, your job is more than just feeding the sheep. It's to have an evangelistic spirit about you. Amen. I'm not a pastor. I am an evangelist. I never have pastored a church. God never has opened that door up for me. Had a lot of churches asked me about it. I prayed about it, and God said, no, no, no. And I figured out a long time ago that God had me in the field of evangelism, and that's what it's been through these years. But the Lord said, even to Pastor Timothy, don't lose that evangelistic spirit. It's not just my job to evangelize. It's the pastor's job and this congregation's job to evangelize this community. You'd be surprised how many times I pulled into a gas station just a mile or so from the church. Had a good idea where it's at. Never been there before, but I just wanted to make sure. Pull into that gas station and say, do you know where so-and-so Baptist church is at? No, don't believe I ever heard of it. So-and-so's the pastor, you know. And I said, it's on such and such a road. I be honest with you, I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. Less than a mile from the house of God. I'm going to tell you what, every gas station, every clerk,
amen,
every grocery store worker, folk we work with, this neighborhood ought to know where this church is at.
Amen.
I believe we ought to canvass communities, and I believe we ought to be a witness wherever we're at. And when we lose an evangelistic spirit and a zeal about us, we're backslid on Almighty God. Amen. I never have believed that you sit down on your knees and twiddle your thumb and say, well, what'll be will be. I believe God uses means to produce the grace of God to save sinners. I believe He uses His people to reach out and witness and testify. And if we get some zeal in our feet and our heart and get the gospel out of these four walls, sinners will come in. They won't all receive it. I've got more sense than to believe that. But thank God there are those that will receive it. And they need to have an opportunity at least to believe it. And that lies in the lap of the people of God. Don't ever get over evangelism, he says. Evangelize the sinner. But then in verse number 8, he says, expect the Savior. He said, there is a crown laid up for me, but not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Why did he say it like that? Because when you love His appearing, it'll do several things. Number one, it'll keep you clean. Ring-a-ding-a-ding-a. Hello. I was just thinking, if you didn't mind, would you mind going out with me tonight? I want to take you over to Ryan's and then come over and hear Brother Andy preach at that revival meeting. Would you mind? Oh, yeah, I'd be glad to. I've been praying about that. I'd be glad for you to come by. All right, I'll pick you up about 5 o'clock. All right, I'll be there. I'll be ready. He pulls up in that yard. He don't get out of an old dirty dump truck in his overalls with mud all over his knees, grease all over his hands. At least I hope he don't. Say amen right there. He knocks on that door. I guarantee you she's not going to come to that door in her granny gown that's all beaded up with lightning rods in her hair and her old white mask on. Hadn't brushed her teeth all day long. She's not going to come to the door like that. You know why? She's expecting Him. And because she's expecting Him, she's been scrubbing and cleaning and primping and pressing and getting ready for His appearing.
Amen.
Paul said, Timothy, all you got to do is just love His appearing. If you realize He's coming and you've got an eye toward that eastern sky and you've got your eyes on Him, He'll do for you everything you need to keep you going on, son. Amen. It'll keep you clean. Then it'll keep you full of courage. The Long Ranger kept on fighting. He just had one bullet left. But he knew that Calvary would be coming. He'd fire that last bullet, and him and Tonto would be ready to meet God. And all of a sudden, here come that guy. Always fought in hope. Hope that help would show up just at the right time. Thank God, as a preacher of the gospel, I believe help's going to be here, and it's going to be here right on time, perhaps today. Wouldn't we love to leave out of here tonight I don't know if we'd do it or not, but I'd hope we'd blow holes through this thing, shotgunning out of here so the Antichrist couldn't even use it for a grain seller. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Yes, sir. He said, expect the Savior. The Lord's coming. And our labor's not in vain in the Lord.
Then in verse 8, he said, Timothy, you'll get to enjoy the spoils. He said, I fought a good fight. He said, it's a fight, but thank God there is a reward. There's a crown laid up for me. At the finish of the way, son, God's got something good prepared for His children. Oh, listen, friend, Paul said, these light afflictions endure but just for a moment. Have you ever read about his light afflictions? Whipped, beat, stoned, despised, hated, in this, oft in perils of water, in perils of the heathen, perils of the countrymen, in nakedness, in cold, in famine, my friend, reject and despise. He said, these are just light afflictions. But they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Ooh, hallelujah. Let's rapture out of here and go down through Hallelujah Boulevard about 1,000 years from now. I meet this old fella skipping down the street of gold one day, and I say, hello, sir. My name's Randy Bain. Who are you? Oh, I'm Paul. You might have known me as Paul the Apostle. Oh, yeah, Paul, sit down here by the street, stream of life. Let me talk to you. Tell me something. What about all those afflictions and persecutions and journeys and all that you find? What are you talking about, son? You know, beaten with the rods, beaten with the whips, all of those things. Oh, you mean those light afflictions. Son, that's not even worthy to be brought up here. Look what He's given me. Look where I live at, son. Over here on Hallelujah Boulevard. I got a glorified body that don't have one broke bone, don't have one piece of scar tissue on it. Glory to God, I'm like my Savior. I've got all eternity to shout the victory with Him. Look what all He's given me. I'll tell you something, friend. God's a good paymaster. We can whine all we want to whine, but I'm looking around the crowd. Looks like they're doing pretty good to me. Most of us probably eating a whole lot more than we ought to. Amen. And we're living a whole lot higher on the hog than we ought to. But beyond all of that, thank God you think about the spiritual blessings. Simon Peter said, Lord, we've forsaken all. Now what are we going to get out of it? Jesus didn't slap him on the hand and say, bad boy, Simon, you're being a bad boy for thinking about that. No, you know what the Lord said? He said, Simon, you're going to get 100-fold in this life and in the life to come. Buddy, I've reaped over 100-fold in this life. He said, houses and I got more places to stay than I can stay. Amen. Oh, one little old house on the side of a mountain in western North Carolina. But I got houses all over this country. Standing invitation, brother, if you don't look us up and come stay with us when you come through town, we're going to skin your head. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, God has blessed me, and all the blessings of heaven that have flowed my way have come as a result of being saved and being found in the will of God. Gave me a precious wife and children. Gave me a roof over my head, an automobile to drive. Give me open doors and congregations to preach the Word of God to. Give me peace and joy, treasures that cannot be bought with money or the riches of this world. If there wasn't any heaven and if there wasn't any hell, the Christian life would be the best life there is to live. But I got news for you, thank God. When we fought the fight, when we run the race, when the battle's over, God hath prepared for us something much, much better. Oh, Abraham, it said God had prepared for them a city. No longer, thank God, will we dwell in tents like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we're going to make the last move one day. And God's not going to have a bunch of poodle dog houses up there. He's not going to have a bunch of little shanty shacks up there. Thank God it's going to be lined with mansions. And the golden streets are going to be reflecting the glory of the Savior. The gates of pearl.
world are going to be shining out the light of the blessed Lamb of God. We're going to have a glorified body to enjoy the inheritance that God's going to give us forever and forever. Timothy, the pain may not be much down here, son, but you mark it down, it's going to be worth it all. Woo! Hallelujah. You've all heard the illustration about the man that was on the ship. He'd come in from a lifetime spent on the mission field. And they said they'd pick him up in New York. The mission board did when he got there. The band was playing. People were shouting. Said he started to get off and they pushed him back. And a big dignitary come walking off the gangplank into the crowd. And the band played and followed him down the street. The missionary finally got off in New York Harbor and said he looked around. The man that had promised to pick him up wasn't even there. He went and checked into an old Roach Coach motel, laid there on that old warp bed looking up at that bare light bulb. Said he got to feeling sorry for himself that night. Lord, I've served you all of my life. I buried my wife and my children in these years on the mission field. Now I've got old and said I can't go like I used to could. And Lord, I've come home and they didn't even come to pick me up here at the harbor. And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, son, you're not home yet.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God we're not home yet. So there's hardships, there's rough times, there's storms, preacher. We're not home yet. Thank God God has prepared something better for His children. Don't you ever get to feeling sorry for yourself. Don't you ever get to whining and saying, poor old me. Thank God you're a child of God, washed in the blood, and God's got something better prepared for you on the other side. Serving God's worth anything, it's worth everything. He said, I charge you, Timothy. And that charge is not just to the man of God, but to the people of God. Stay with it. Stay steadfast. Don't get detoured. Don't turn aside. Henceforth, there's laid up. God's got something laid up for you if you'll serve Him faithfully. Let's stand all over the house. Let's bow our heads and hearts before the Lord tonight. Some already coming to pray this evening. God spoke to your heart. You want to come pray and talk to Him. I don't know what your burden might be. It may be, Lord, just help me to ride that pulpit. Lord, help me to anchor in this storm. God, help me to give attendance to your word and be found faithful reading, studying, believing, and practicing this scripture. Maybe you need to pray, Lord, give me an evangelistic spirit. I'm glad I'm saved, but I've sort of forgot about others around me. I've got tired of being rejected, but God, refresh the zeal of my heart. Refresh my spirit. If she begins to play some number tonight, God spoke to you, whatever your need is, would you slip out and come? You may have never been saved by the grace of God. Thank God the Lord's ready to save and willing to save. Come trust Him this evening. Young person, would you come dedicate your life to the Lord? You got that young life and that opportunity ahead of you. Why don't you come say, Lord, I want to give it to you. I want to be able to look forward to you coming. Is there a hesitancy in your heart? Would you say, oh, Lord, don't come tonight. There's some things I need to get straightened out. If there is, get it straightened out. Get cleaned up. Get prepared for His coming. Let Him have His way in your heart, would you? These are praying here in this altar. You need to come join them. Come on right now. Let go and let the Lord have His way. That's right. Others still slipping out. Won't you come tonight? We need a revival, but where's it going to begin at? It's going to begin in our hearts as God's people. God bless you, young lady. Are there others, other young folk tonight? Timothy, I charge you, son. Take hold of this sword. Stand fast on the front lines. Hey, Abraham. Hey, Sarah. Hey, young man, young lady. You going to be found faithful? Have you dedicated yourself to the Lord? Yes, I want to receive that charge. I want to be faithful to the things of God. I don't want to drop the ball. You say, preacher, I'll wait a little longer. Best time to do it's when you're young. I started out young, teenager, serving God. Got high mileage now. I'll turn 45 years old the 11th of this month, just a couple of days. But I've been around this world again and again preaching the Word of God. And it all started out as a teenager. You get started out on the wrong foot in life, you're going to have some difficulties all along the way. Young Timothy, take hold of it now. Be faithful. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of what the will of God is in your life. Let Him have His way in your heart. Others tonight want to come seek His face.